Welcome, welcome, one and all. This is The Current Moment, where I am your host, Tom Baum, and we are keeping you current on all things KC Current. I have the originator of the Shea Butter FC Network, one of two. I have with me Silves. Silves, how are you today?
What's going on? Today is a pretty good day, so I can't complain too much.
It's been a lot of good football today. I've been very much enjoying all of the good football that we have been able to watch today. Would like to just wrap up talking about the Current's last match. We'll talk about that in this episode. We'll also talk about what happened at the KC Current's stadium over the international break and my experience with that. And then we will preview Kansas City Current's away trip to Snapdragon Stadium. God, I hope that pitch is not terrible. The last time that we saw Kansas City Current was recording a 3-0 victory over Utah Royals. And in their first home match, they scored three goals. Those three goals were scored in order by Tim Wichiwinga, mm-hmm. Michelle Cooper, mm-hmm. and Dabinia. Mm-hmm. Michelle Cooper are... And they started off with a bang in the eighth minute. Michelle Cooper got the ball out wide on the right, released Tim Wichiwinga. Chiwinga had a tap-in attempt, and she skied it. And she skied it so high that she actually hit the scoreboard at CPKC Stadium and made it black out for a second. That was very, very interesting. I guess the most complimentary thing I could say about their competition in that match is that me and Daniel Sperry had a bet on the over under a number of shots that Ali Sentnor would take outside of the box. The number was 13.
What was your bet?
Oh, I was over. The number was 13. It was a push because it was 13. We probably should have went 12 and a half, but she did actually hit 13 shots outside of the box.
She don't believe in the inside of 18, boy. She just, that's not her ministry.
No, it is not. She shoots. Shoots that thing. The first goal, comes in the 22nd minute. It was a beautiful team goal, honestly. You had Izzy Rodriguez getting the ball to Kayla Sharples, who gets the ball to Claire Hutton, who we've seen her movies, and we know that she gets the ball forward. She finds Tim Wichiwinga, who holds the ball up, gets the ball to Dabinia. Dabinia is able to get the pass to Vanessa DiBernardo, able to get the pass out wide to Michelle Cooper. Michelle Cooper plays in a cross that is deflected by Kate Del Fava. Kate Del Fava deflects the ball back to Michelle Cooper, who passes it right back to Tim Wichiwinga and taps it in. And she's onside because Kate Del Fava has basically tumbled over into the goal. Like she... basically made it impossible for Mandy McGlynn to move. That might have been the prettiest goal that Current have scored all season, honestly.
Yeah.
You can't really ask for any much more than that. Also, Kate Del Fava, she had a rough day at the office.
Rough day against her former team?
Yes. Yeah. I think it's very interesting to select, because she never played... center back when she was here. So now watching her play center back and then like watching her be the primary defender for Utah, I was like, oh, choices are being made by Jimmy Conrats.
Is it Conrats or Coonrats?
Coon rats.
Coon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's unfortunate.
It's different in other languages. I get it. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know with that.
Yeah,
you made a lot of moves, but you didn't really make a move to get a center back. But I don't, you know. All right.
If you like it, I love it, sir. But
yeah.
So then, like 2 minutes later, Michelle Cooper is able to play a through ball to Tim Wichowinga after Mandy McGlynn basically just hoofs it up the pitch. Tim Wichowinga obviously beats Kate Delphave in the foot race, puts it past McGlynn. 2-0 current, right? Wrong. We go to the Yeti cooler and we find out that Michelle Cooper actually handled the ball with her elbow in real time. I will say, like, it was it didn't look like a handball, but like watching the replay over again, like it was the right call. It did hit the crook of her elbow. Because she was in the air, her arms were away from her body, which
it's never a natural position in the air because that's not how people jump.
No, like you don't see people jump like up in the air like they're like sardines or salmon or some shit.
Jumping's also dangerous. Like you have to
correct
yourself some kind of
bed, to brace yourself a little bit. I did ask I did ask Tim Wichowinga and after the match if they had had a conversation about that because in the next goal, Claire Hutton wins the ball again and quickly gets it forward. Mm-hmm. Tell me if you've heard this movie before. To Tim Wichowinga. Tim Wichowinga puts in a cross to a streaking Michelle Cooper, who actually one times it with her right foot.
That was a good take. That was a good shot.
I was impressed because I did not think that
it was cheeky. I didn't think she had that in her bag.
I didn't either. I was impressed. I did ask Timwa if they talked about it, and being the model of humility that she is, she said, like, oh, we do this in training all of the time. So when we do this in training, you just get more comfortable doing it in the match. And so we were just able to execute in the match. And like, we know that we need to win. And in order for us to win, I need to score goals or I need to assist in scoring goals. So whatever it takes to win, which I thought was just a humble superstar, like truly just a wonderful human being. And then
gotten to talk to her maybe once or twice, but she is quite lovely. Yes.
Also, like, far more soft spoken than you would think. There have been several times where I've had to read the transcript back. As she doesn't necessarily.
She and Banda have very soft voices, which is very much the antithesis of how they play football.
Yes, that is very true. the third goal, again, Claire Hutton wins the ball and gets the ball off the field pick quickly and gets the ball to Vanessa DiBernardo, who tries the reverse pass to Tim Wichowinga. Kate Delphave is there for it and deflects it, but right into the path of a streaking Dabinia, who she does not miss from there, and it is 3-0. In the 45th plus 2 minutes of first half stoppage time. So Kansas City scored 3 goals in essentially 25 minutes. They are a dangerous team when they can do that.
I mean, right now, I mean, this is your show, obviously, and you cover this team. I had them as the second best team going into the season. They were a tick below for me. Mm-hmm. With Orlando, for me, that was almost all health related.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
3 games in, I feel wrong about that. I would switch them.
I don't know if
I think Kansas City's the best team.
I'm not sure if I'm ready to call them the best team in the league just yet. I think that, especially like any team that has won a double and brought back everybody that they did bring back, like it's hard to, not only did you bring everybody that you brought back, but the fact that you have Hafele, you put Sears, you put the defender of the year from center back to outside back because you had
right that's fair. And I think they've maybe had a slightly harder, I mean, you all played DC, but like they've had maybe a slightly more awkward schedule.
But DC, like, yes, current play DC, but they played DC, they played the diminished version of DC.
Yeah,
so like they kind of got lucky in that sense to have them so early in the season.
I think that's true, and I think there's probably going to be some questions around that defense, though. I don't know if, you know, I don't know if we'll touch on this. Lorena's better than I could have imagined.
Yes, and I think that was always going to be the biggest question mark coming into this coming into the season, was like, what does Lorena give you in defense? Because we saw what Almuth Schult did for Kansas City in the second half of last season. Just like, you get Almuth Schult, you bring in Alana Cook, you bring in Kayla Sharples, and like you have a brand new spine of your defense essentially. What is that going to look with a different, how is that going to look with a different goalkeeper? Is it going to go back to, you know, those high scoring matches that you had in the first half of the season? It has not appeared that way. I mean, Lorena's given up a goal all season.
She's a great shot stop. She's a fantastic, and like her distribution's actually fairly solid too. Like she is the kind of good where I'm like, people are going to try to see if there's other goalkeepers in Brazil. There aren't, by the way.
There are not. Go to that one.
Yeah, there aren't though.
So I want to touch on something that Vladko said in his post-match presser.
It's we do work a lot on getting them to play off of each other and with each other, but also they have a lot of freedom. What we're trying to do is create a frame from them and then allow them to expose their creativity within the frame, because you have players like Temo and Deb, Vanessa, Bia coming in. It would be ridiculous to limit them and create a game plan that is strict. There are certain things that I have to do that are non-negotiables, but then there are certain things that we just leave it up to them.
Because it kind of baffled me, and I'm just going to read the quote. And we'll also play the audio as well. It's what we do. We work a lot getting them to play with each other or play off of each other and with each other, but also they have a lot of freedom. What we're trying to do is create a framework for them and then allow them to express their creativity within the frame. Because you have players like Temwa and Deb, Vanessa, Bia coming in, it would be ridiculous to limit them creating a game plan that is so strict. There are certain things I have to do. There are non-negotiables, but there are certain things we just leave it up to them.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Okay is right. So I think having seen both home matches, you can tell that there was some throttling down in the second half. Like, and you can do that when you score three goals in 25 minutes in the first half. Yes. And against a team like Orlando, against a healthy DC, against Gotham, and maybe even against their next opponent in San Diego Wave, is that something that you're going to be able to do? One. And two, What is it about Vladko's history that would make me believe that this quote is actually true?
Yeah, I think he leans more on the conservative side, right? Like, obviously, he coached Seattle, so like I have some experience with Vladko, and obviously we saw for better and often for worse. His work with the national team as well, and it tends to lead conservative. It tends to lean defense first. I don't know. It's an interesting quote, right? Like I get him saying like I want to give them the freedom to experiment, to build their own chemistry, to play off of one another, and I'm going to assume in some ways to make themselves unpredictable. Mm-hmm. But also, yeah, you need to give them some kind of framework to play out of, right? The beauty of I'll go to this every time, right? In order to break the rules, you have to know the rules, right? Like, that's why jazz musicians are good. Right. Because you have to know the fundamentals before you can break the rules. And so I get that, right? Letting them improvise. You have Cooper, who stepped up her game. You obviously have Temla Chiwenga, who's the best goal scorer in the NWSL. I don't think that's a hard line to take right now. No. And then you have Dabinha turning back the clock. Like
she did, she did a whole share. She turned back time.
She's been really good for them these first three games. And then, oh, by the way, B is now off of SEI. So some of it is he has to bench someone. Like, he can't get everybody. You need Lola Bonta and Vanessa DiBernardo in that midfield. You've seen what it looks like when they don't play. So Claire Hutton can be the kind of good she is because Lola Bonta and Vanessa DiBernardo are there.
Well, and
so who does he put in, right? What is his starting? I think it's a privilege problem, but it's a problem, and I think he's got to figure it out.
And I wonder if that becomes a scenario in which we see Vanessa DiBernardo as the odd person out. Just because, like, when Bia is able to start at the nine, her ability to play both nine and ten simultaneously is like really, really special. And the fact
that you can't stop her and Temla, like we had it for a little bit last year, and it was just, what can you do?
And I think that like what goes so underrated is like, they played together in China. They know each other's movies. Yeah. So like, that's they already wild. Have that chemistry together. So they have that anticipation of like, okay, I know where you're about to be. Like I know how to help you set up and score this particular goal, or get you closer to a shot that you want to take that is going to go on frame and test the keeper. And with Bia having that relationship with Dabinha, playing together on the national team. Don't get me wrong, Vanessa DiBernardo has had a great Kansas City career. Like she had, was last year, her 11 goal involvements was a career high, like, which is kind of shocking in some ways. But then you think about like her playing in Chicago, she definitely was playing a more, not as an advanced role as she is now. So she's been unleashed in ways. I also think that like, it might be better to maybe bring her off the bench to close.
That's a hell of a depth. Like so in midfield, you have her and like Rocky Rodriguez. Like you have two winners sitting for depth in your midfield. That's not a bad life.
And I will say, the way that like, it's really funny because like for the national team, like when Vladko was coaching, you knew when he was going to make subs, you knew what subs he was going to make, and you knew at what time he was going to make them.
Yeah.
For Kansas City Current, you know what subs he's going to make, who he's going to sub on for, and when he's going to sub them on for. Nichelle
Prince. If it ain't broke, I guess he'll tell you if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
I mean, he did say that it was a more of a challenge with this to bring, as players get healthy, to bring those players back. It's a big challenge for his coaching staff, and it makes it a little bit more difficult. But he also did, to your point, say it is a problem of privilege.
Right, champagne problems, right? Because I also think about what happens when Gabby Robinson is healthy, right? Correct. Like, she was a really good defender and a throwback, kind of, right? Like, we're going to Millie Bright boot the ball out the paint. Like, you do need somebody to just kind of get stuck in and clear that. And, like, I don't know if both of your current center backs are better, right? Like, I don't – but you also would have to work on a pairing and all of these other things. So he really does have a he's spoiled for depth. That coaching staff is spoiled for depth. They've done a really good job of building that roster. And I think some of it's being cautious, right? Last year, the argument would be they burned out.
Yes.
They went really hard when they didn't necessarily have to, and they didn't peak at the right time. And it felt, even though they won some trophies last year, I think they feel like toward the end, they kind of flamed out. And, that they had the most talent maybe. And so it seems like there's a chip on the shoulder there. Like, seems like Kansas City feels like they probably should have won or at least been in that final at home last year. And in the same way that Orlando was the year before, right? They missed the playoffs on goal differential, and they were basically like, never again. Yeah. And so I kind of get that vibe from Kansas City too. Like, they'll be professional about it, but they feel hell of your own construction. But like, they feel aggrieved and like, oh, okay, if we do what we're supposed to do, we're the best team in the league. That's kind of the vibe I've gotten from them.
There's an underlying, when you talk to the players, there's an underlining understanding that all of the player, that you kind of see that the players believe that, yes, like, there were some breaks that did not go their way in this, because there was like, there was 5 points that separated them them from Gotham. So that, like, and that is the, that might be, that's possibly the difference between you playing Orlando at home in the final versus, you know, you playing them in the semifinals on the road.
And Kansas City has a really specific 3-game stretch they can look at last year, right? Where they're like, that's really the only time we weren't great.
Yep.
And that cost them. It basically cost them first place. And it said they were fourth place. And you have a lot harder road to toe.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think they want to put themselves at least in the top two. Like, so that they have some, okay, we probably don't have to leave before a final. Before get all our games at home. I think that seems to be their aim, and they have a very clear and concise, this is how we want to do it. I am interested to see, like you said, when they play teams that can kind of hang for 90. And I know we'll get into the game coming up this weekend for you all. An interesting test, because I'm not quite sure about the other team. But I think, you know, just outside looking in, I mean, they're a team that scares me. So I don't, you know, it's Van Lith against Clark. Like, it's just like, what do you want from me
when it comes to Demba?
And then what she's able to allow all of her other teammates to do. So, yeah. Champagne problems, but there's definitely problems, but champagne problems.
Yes. So speaking of CPKC Stadium, during the international break, they played host to the first of 2 international friendlies between Mexico and Jamaica. And I was fortunate enough through Shea Butter FC, thank you so much, to wrangle a credential for that match. That match was crazy. In that, like, so as a Manchester City fan, obviously I'm familiar with Bunny Shaw. I watched that Jamaica team. Bunny Shaw is not saving that team.
Yeah, she helps some, but that's not.
That's not the problem. Like, I think you you saw Jamaica and you saw, and like, I was talking to some of the other Mexican media that showed up. We had Telemundo there, we had Univision there. I was talking to the guy from Univision, and he was saying that, like, you could tell Jamaica has talented players, but they don't press collectively.
No, they're not a team.
And that's a problem. And playing Chantel Swaby as the six is a choice. it is a choice. And Mr. Burton, I mean, if that's what you want to do, that's okay, but it's probably not going to go so good for you as Jamaica. I know that you as a T-Grace fan know this, but like I got to experience firsthand for the first time.
Jackie
Ovalle is worth the price of admission every time.
She is one of the best players in the world. Like I'll die on that hill. She's one of the three best bringers in the world, and she's not the third best. Like
Correct.
She's got the goal of the year, so like I don't see anybody scoring a better goal than that. No. But yeah, tell me, I want to hear. I'm always interested to hear what it's like to experience Ovalle for the first time.
My Mexico score, like two of the three goals were off of set pieces. Their only other goal that was not off of a set piece, Jackie Ovalle assisted on. And just watching her, like the pinpoint accuracy that she can deliver on a cross or on a set piece is just magnificent. Just absolutely magnificent. And I think to the point that Jamaica is not a team, the goal that Alice Soto scored, I don't know what any of the Jamaican defenders were doing, but they didn't do anything.
It's bad, dude. Like, sorry, it's bad.
I think that like, if you're going to play, essentially they played three center backs in Allison Swaby, Vian Sampson, and Konya Plummer. And you can do that and then have wingbacks. But if you do that, you need to give those center backs better cover. And Chantel Swaby is a lot of things, but she is not a defensive midfielder.
And doesn't play it with club at all.
No, like you might as well just drop her back. And I think that was the other thing that I noticed is that Mexico was able to exploit the spaces between the back three and then the wing backs that they had, like Camberos and Ovalle were just cooking, like absolutely cooking.
Yeah.
And it was nothing to, there was really nothing that Jamaica had an answer for them. And I think of all of that, I think that the thing that stood out to me the most, and I think that Christina Birkenhead, put it, best in the mix zone when we talked to her. I asked her, I understand that 2027 is a long way away, but you know, what does it mean to know that you are able to beat a team like this, that you're going to be competing for a spot, in the World Cup? And the first thing that she said out of her mouth was, well, this is the team that kept us out of the World Cup in 2023. Mm-hmm. And, we know that they are a quality team, but we also know that like that's not something that we're going to forget. Based off of the result in Kansas City, as well as the result in Houston, which was a 4-0 drubbing, And then if you go back to through all of the matches that Mexico has played Canada since the World, since Jamaica qualified for the World Cup, Mexico has waxed Jamaica. Just like, and they took that personally.
Yeah, and keep in mind, not only did Mexico get knocked out and Jamaica took that spot, those qualifiers were in Mexico.
Yes.
Like they got embarrassed at home.
Yes.
They embarrassed themselves, to be fair. But yeah, yes, they got embarrassed.
So I that was my first international match at all, and it was a very cool experience. Like I think that shout out to FMF for putting together these friendlies. It's really smart to put together friendlies for Mexico here in the United States. Their fans are going to travel. The attendance was a little under 7,300, which in a which in a stadium like that's 11,500 in CPKC Stadium.
And on a Saturday.
On a Saturday, and it was cold. Like,
yeah, apparently it was still not springtime yet.
That was the crazy part because it had been warm all week except for Friday, and then like the temperature like took a severe drop. So it was like 40 degrees. The wind was crazy out of the north. And like Mexico, like Jamaica won the toss, but Mexico chose the wind, which I think, and I did ask Mexico, like I did ask both the Mexican and Jamaican coaches, like if like the wind played in any factor, and they both said no. Some of the players, in talking with the Spanish language media, they did actually say something in effect of like, "Oh yeah, it was pretty cold, and the wind was kind of getting to you." Like, I will fully admit, I am not fluent in Spanish. I am a monolingual person. That stated, there are certain things that I can pick up.
Yeah,
I was able to pick up frío. I know.
Yes.
yeah, it was cold. It was a very cold Saturday at CPKC Stadium.
Yes. Okay.
So, but yeah,
well, I'm glad you got to experience an international game, and it's different when the U.S. is not involved.
You know,
and honestly, I think people should experience that.
Yes.
And yours wasn't CONCACAF, which is also very nice because that's a whole different.
Oh, and it was a very CONCACAF-y match. Like there were some fouls. Like, oh, we're not calling that a foul. Oh, this is peak
CONCACAF. Oh no, yeah, no severe blood loss, no foul.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. That's dope. Though I'm glad CPKC could do that though.
Yeah, and I think that shout out to CPKC Stadium staff for putting on that event. I know that there's going to do some other events later. I know that they have the U.S. women's rugby team is going to play Canada there.
Yeah.
So that should be really, really interesting. So let's move on and talk about their Crazy Currents match against the Wave, San Diego Wave. It is Saturday evening. It is a local 7 p.m. kick in San Diego. It will be a 9 o'clock kick here in Kansas City. Obviously, you cannot talk about San Diego without talking about Jonas Eidevall. He has surprised me.
Yeah, I think San Diego was probably the great mystery in terms of just like we had no earthly idea of how they were gonna do this, and it's this weird mix of like young international players and older international players, like U.S. players aren't necessarily names, like they don't have this is a team that went from the three-headed U.S. superstar monster to none, right?
Mm-hmm.
You still have experience there, right? Like, you have the OGs, like the McNabs and the Sheridans. Like, you have people who've been there.
Right.
For the most part, the people who were originally on that team are gone.
Yep.
Including, obviously, their coach, Casey Stoney. They have a new front office. There's a bit new everything. And they had three different managers last year. It was a whole saga. They clearly have some talent, right? Like, you have... Don't think Cascarino's going to get herself into a best 11 or certainly, you know, first or second team would be my guess. And they were smart to get a lot of players who need to be tournament ready this summer, right? So, like, you have Cascarino, you have Dolly, you have Maroney, Okonjo, I've said her name correctly, the young Nigerian player, right? Like, they'll have a tournament this summer. She's going to try to break into the senior national team. You have a lot of players getting ready for Euros or WAFCON or even a Copa.
Yep.
You have people trying to work their way through their youth teams like a Gia Corley. You know, and so you have a lot of desire there to do well. You still have that stalwart in net. And it's not as if Jonas Eidevall had no success, right?
Right.
In England, like, he did win things. I think it became a what is his ceiling conversation.
Yeah.
Now, what I will say in terms of how San Diego plays, they are very big on the press.
Yes.
And I don't know if I want to press a team with 10 much white on it.
Well, I guess, like, first of all, they're so heavy on the press, which is so antithetical to everything that he did while he was at Arsenal. Like, that is not.
Yeah. I think he's leaning into that NWSL narrative real hard. All the way into it, yeah.
And, like, are you going to be pressing if you have to play a August match in Houston?
Right. What's your schedule, right? Because, like, you haven't been in the United. Like, I remember Casey Stoney being like, travel here sucks. Like,
yeah.
Or are you going to press, like, you were pressing in Orlando on a hot day at noontime.
Right.
And it almost worked in part because Orlando was like, y'all are going to do this?
Y'all really going to do this? Okay. I mean, that's a choice, but okay.
Yeah. Like, so I was like, oh, we don't do this because it's hot. What are y'all doing? But yeah, there's a reason Orlando plays a lot of possession football sometimes. Like, the hotter it is, the more you want to hold the ball. But yeah, it'll be interesting. I think the advantage, obviously, for San Diego is that they're in San Diego.
At home.
We'll see what condition snapped. I don't think they've had events, so maybe it'll be a decent pitch this go around. But I'm also just like, of all the teams in the league, Kansas City feels like the team I would be least excited to press against. One, they can press bad.
Right.
Two, and this is not a disc. Oh, I don't know. I think it's between y'all and Orlando for like that midfield. I'm just like, I mean, you can try.
Well, I mean,
you
I think
like you, I just okay.
I think you talk a lot about press resistant players, and I think that if Kansas City starts a midfield of DiBernardo, Labonta, and Hutton, those are three relatively press resistant. If San Diego starts Kenza Dali, Savannah McCaskill, and Maria Sanchez in midfield, I don't feel as good at their press resistance ability. And like, you still really haven't like made a determination of like, okay, am I playing 2 8s as a double pivot for a six? Am I playing Savannah McCaskill as my six? Because that's a choice.
So, yeah, I'm also just like, you also have the most press-resistant player in the league. Because if all else fails, F it, Temo up there somewhere.
Somewhere. She up there somewhere.
I don't have to be accurate. I don't have to be accurate. I can flick the ball. As long as she's onside, she's probably going to get that ball.
And she usually keeps herself onside.
Right, and you're asking her to get behind a midfield that isn't particularly fast. You can do that against Orlando because Orlando's midfield isn't lightning fast.
Right.
And that front line outside of Ban, like, you have Watt, though they did a good job of containing Watt. The Watt also defends a lot, right?
Yes.
But, like, you got, like, five of them.
Right.
With Kansas City, like, you don't, there's too much speed up top.
Not only, like, and I think that, like, to me, the biggest question mark of what Kansas City is going to do in this particular match is whether or not Haley Mace is fit to start. Because I don't think that, like, I don't think that Vladko wants to expose Izzy Rodriguez. Because if you go back to the Washington Spirit match, like, as soon as Trinity Rodman comes in, she had that goal that was disallowed. And then almost immediately, Vladko has, Wheeler and Rodriguez switch sides, like, because
you can't. Izzy Rodriguez isn't that kind of defender, right? Like, she's not
right.
She's not a shut him down.
No, not
she's
at
more
all.
I'm going to join in the attack.
Correct.
Kind of. Yeah.
And I think that San Diego's most dangerous players are, to me, probably Gia Corley and Delphine Cascarino. So you'll want to have your two better defenders in Wheeler and Mace in. I would not be surprised if Mace started on the left-hand side so that she could face up against Cascarino and then let the youth be youth in Wheeler versus Corley play out and let... But what's interesting about that is that typically whoever plays that left fullback spot is the fullback that joins up into the attack, and then you'll have the three at the back. So I will be interested to see how Vladko adjusts for Delphine Cascarino particularly. Yeah.
Okay.
But I
think you should. I'd be very shocked if you all didn't take the three off of that.
I do think that this might be the match where you might see a little bit of confusion, just because I do feel like this is the Haley Mace match to start. And whether it's her just not having been in the flow of the match or her coming out after 45, because I don't think that she's 90 minutes fit yet. I'm pretty sure that...
And she hasn't been subbing her on like she is.
Yeah, and I was like, and I'm pretty sure the Vladko said that she was on a minutes restriction too. So having her play, like, what happens when she comes off? Like, because you're going to put Rodriguez... Yeah. Like, are you going to put Rodriguez in, or are you going to put Elizabeth Ball in, like you did in the first match?
That's not a lot, yeah.
Because
Temo right back or left back? Let's go.
I mean, hey,
she score can, goals and then put it
on right. The back line. Although one of the things that I really do like, I do find interesting is that, like, he won't play Temo centrally until like the last 10-15 minutes of the match, and then he plays her centrally. It's like, what? But why?
Okay.
But why?
Is that to cut down on her defending, maybe?
I guess. Or
to give her a rest while defending kind of thing?
Or it's either that or because she is such a good... She is one of those wingers that will track back and defend. It's basically just like, okay, we're going to give you this rest to play you centrally, like, so you can play the full 90.
Mm.
So... I don't really know, but I have a 3-2 scoreline to Current in this match. I do think that Current will take all 3 points.
You have two. I was going to say 3-1.
I think that this just might be one of those, like, I give them one because they're at home, and then I'll give them another one just because I'll give them another one just because of the there's going to be some defensive fluctuation there.
That's true.
So
I don't know. For all of that, though, I think they've only scored multiple goals once, or as good as they've been, quote unquote. Scored multiple goals once, and really that win was gifted to them.
Yes.
Like, and you talking back in that game, and then, well, bless Mandy McGlynn. She Mandy McGlynn. gave them that game basically on the platter.
And I think that, like, this is going to sound so weird, but, like, even though it's only the third match, or this is the fourth match of the season, based off of the transitive property of, like, you've played this team and we've played this team, when Current played Utah at home, I was thinking, mm-hmm. like, they've played, they need to beat this Utah team soundly, which they did. Because they're better than you. They're better than San Diego, and San Diego won.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's fair. This feels like a test. One they should pass, but it definitely feels like this San Diego presents a different set of problems, I think, defensively for Kansas City. Yes. But I also think you just have the ability to outscore everybody, and that's the best defense. Like, if you put up 5 goals, it doesn't really matter if you concede 2. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
That's kind of my vibe for Kansas City. And you have, again, you're going to have one of the 2 or 3 best goalkeepers in the league. Like, that's a hell of an advantage too. Yep.
Well, Silves, I thank you so much for stopping by the Current Moment. It is great to have you on. I would tell people where they could find you tell the people where they could find you, but they know.
Yeah. I mean, same as I always am. I'm on Blue Sky. I'm better about Instagram. I'm not great. And then obviously you can follow all of Shea Butter's, website, socials, all that fun stuff. If you can't find me on my personals, I'll be tagged in one of those, so I'm not hard to find.
Absolutely. Well, again, thank you so much for stopping by. You have been
listening. Thank you for having me.
You have been listening, ladies, gentlemen, and non-binary individuals, to The Current Moment, keeping you current on all things Kansas City Current, and we will see you next week.